So, should we kick this off? Get this party started, right? Chris, I assume you're taping now. Welcome everyone to the BrailleNode GPS pre-game show of version 4.0 that is about to be released any day now. We are finished development, finished testing, went through what, 49 alphas we went through, and over 30 betas and 6 release candidates. Development for this started around 15 plus months ago. Man, there is so much in this new version. It's incredible. Not only did we completely rewrite the most of the GPS software, and that was actually done to make it easier to port our GPS solution onto other devices. So don't be surprised if you start hearing powered by Sendero GPS on other accessible devices in the near future. So that is a very huge advantage now for us. And not only that, the BrailleNode GPS is also powered by this Sendero SDK, or Software Developers Kit, that I wrote. And it took a lot of the functionality that was in GPS under 3.5, moved it into a place that could be used by others now, and added a whole ton of other new features, and added a complete test suite that allows me to quickly run over 150 tests that exercise every part of the program from start to finish. And it verifies that any change that I make in the future doesn't break existing, cause existing things to break. So very happy about this release. And we'll be going through some of the highlights here today. We also have brand new maps and brand new points of interest for all countries that we currently support. And we finally have real points of interest for Europe. So this is really exciting, and one of our beta testers from the UK was absolutely thrilled with the points of interest data when we finally got that this year and to him. And so you guys are really going to be happy about that. And so anyway, that's that's sort of the broad overview of, and there's tons of new features, tons of restructuring, new support for Braille output, new GPS support, easier access, you name it, we threw it in there. And so we're really, really excited about this release. So before I go on, I want to see if there's anyone has any questions out there. Now, it hasn't officially been released yet. We're still, getting all of our ducks in order, making sure the documentation's ready, the CDs and DVDs are burnt and ready to go. We have supply on hand, so once we do say it's released, we'll be able to, start shipping product right away. We are showing it at both shows next week, and I think we're going to be taking orders as well. So, and they'll be shipped out in the next week or two. So, stay tuned for that. And also the pricing and upgrade strategy and SMA and all that stuff is all handled, by Mike and company. So, I don't know too much about that. I'm just the developer. So, anyway, we'll take some questions now before I continue.
So, I have one upgrade coming. Well, they sent me the DVD CD to download it from the internet.
Anyone that has currently a product, they will you'll be downloading the maps from the internet. Any new purchase of the GPS will come with the new DVDs of the of your country and points of interest. They DVDs can be purchased for a nominal fee if you want to have them as well. But I don't know those pricing. So sorry, Jerry. I don't know that off the top of my head. I know it is available for anyone that wants it, but the cost of burning them, shipping them, and all that will there'll be a nominal fee for that.
Hi, John Gallagher. Do we overwrite our old maps, Charles? For example, if we've got the maps on a 1 gig flash card, should we now be using a 2 gig flash card as well?
No, if you had a 1 gig, the maps then would still presumably fit on the 1 gig. That's not a problem. What you would do is just delete the old maps, or if you want to save them in case, I wouldn't be. You can always, export them and save them onto a hard drive if you really wanted to. But the old maps will no longer work under 4.0. The new maps will only work under 4.0, so you couldn't take new maps and run them on an older version, for example. excuse me. Same goes for points of interest. The old points of interest won't even load. Categories have got moved around, tightened up a bit. We won't be any of the old POIs, except for your own user POIs will still continue to work. It's all the old commercial POIs that you would just delete or move to a different device or drive is what you want to do there. Once you do upgrade to 4.0 and the new maps, you will no longer have access online to the old maps. You'll automatically be switched to the 2007 maps, and so then you can download those new maps and new points of interest at that time.
Yeah, that's great then. Thanks.
Any other questions before I go on to some of the highlights of 4.0?
When I read the show, when I read the what it does, one thing I noticed that for some people that have classic, you're not going to support those people that have classic that's updated with their 7.2 to their voice or braille note, but they have classic, they're not going to be able to upload the four go to the 4.0.
Yeah, unfortunately, there was no way for us to support the classic anymore with this new version. There's a number of factors in that, and that decision wasn't made lightly. The main issue was that the new rich map engine by Decarta, basically that does all of the maps and roading and all of that stuff, doesn't support the MIPS processor anymore. So in order for us to upgrade to the latest rich map engine that we just did, we could no longer support the old classic MIPS processor. And that is the primary reason. The secondary reason is that we tried to keep the old rich map engine and see how it performs. But the system basically didn't have enough memory for the new version of GPS, and it was down to a few hundred K of memory free, and after two roots loaded, it would crash. So unfortunately, there was no way for us to support the classic anymore. The new maps won't run on under the old 3.5, and there's a lot of issues to make that happen. What we are prepared to do is give incentives for those who have classics to migrate to upgrade to the M-Power, and they would get a special deal on the new version of the GPS software as well as an upgrade price for that, but I don't know those prices off the top of my head either. That's all done in marketing, and Mike would know that better than I.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Oh, and we're also on the PKs. You have to have version 7 or better of KeySoft. The old 6, KeySoft 6, won't work under this version either, so they need to get an upgrade. upgrade to Keysoft 7, which is not that expensive and probably a good thing to do on the PK anyway. There was some major things fixed under some Bluetooth issues that got fixed going from Keysoft 6 to 7, so on the PK. So it's only the M-Power and the PK under Keysoft 7. So that's the story of what devices we are running on. Any other questions? Okay, here we go. Okay, after the new maps and points of interest, the next big thing is new and improved address matching. Oh my gosh, I couldn't believe the response that I got in beta when we didn't even have this, actually, right, Chris? The first beta release, it was actually like beta 3 before I threw that in there, and which definitely showed a lot of specific issues, and we worked out, oh man, I would say around 30 or 40 bugs that this new address searching caused. But now what happens is you it asks for the state or as normal, or province, or country, or whatever. Then it asks for the city. The next thing that I'll ask for is the address. And the address here can only be numbers, so it'll automatically beep at you if you tried to type in a letter. So no need to worry about, because you're so used to typing the street name next, it'll start beeping at you, which has done to me a number of times already, because I keep forgetting. And then you type in your address number. If you don't have an address, you don't know what the address is, you just hit enter on that, just like you would do normally. Oh, by the way, you don't have to do a number sign anymore. It'll automatically put the number sign in for you. And then you would type in, the address. Then you hit enter on that, and then it'll ask for the street name. You type in your street name, and it will start looking for that street and that address. If it finds an exact match of that address, and it'll start searching all the different zip codes on that street, passes through looking for that street address, and if it finds an exact match, boom, you're done. It goes and asks you, what do you want to set this to? Virtual destination POI, just like before. And that's great. You don't have to worry about zip codes anymore. Now, let's say an exact match wasn't found. Then what it can do is, if only one street matched your search, then it will, at that point, start looking for cross streets automatically and give you a list of cross streets as well as the nearest address to the address that you typed in. But if you typed in nothing for the address, then it would just find the lowest, or it'll just pick, I think, the lowest address, and then all of the cross streets that address, part of that street, touches. And if multiple streets match the street that you typed in, like let's say you just typed in MA for a street name, you'll get, it'll come up with choices, and let's say you typed in 23 MA, so it would say, okay, let's look for the streets. All right, there's a Main Street, there's a Mayberry Street, there's a Martha Street, and give you all of the choices, and then you would just pick the one you want, and it'll look for that same address that you typed in previously on that street, and if it doesn't find it, it'll find the nearest address, as well as the cross streets, just like before. So, huge improvement over before. So now you no longer have to worry about, oh, let's try this zip code, oh, that's not it, let's try the next one, and then you find out that address just wasn't on that street or whatever, and you've exhausted all your possibilities. So huge improvement on street address matching.
You said that you don't have to use the number sign anymore. Does that mean you type the numbers as though you had used the number sign, or do you have to use Nemeth numbers?
No, you can use it. Depends on how you have your Braille settings, but if you normally would do the number sign and then type .1, .2, stuff like that, then you would do it as if you've already pressed the number sign. Yeah, I think if you were in computer braille, you'd already do dot 2 for a 1 and dot 2, 3 for a 2, but Chris could probably answer a little better than I can.
You actually said it correctly. If your grade is set to grade 2 braille, you don't need the number sign, but you use the upper portion of the cell. If it's computer braille, you never needed the number sign, and you'd use the lower portion of the cell.
And forcing the numbers only appears only in the address lookup. If I force numbers only in, let's say, PY distances or lat lons or stuff like that, then you wouldn't be able to press the decimal point for some reason. So that's basically just one little quirk there. But at least in addresses, it'll beep at you if you try to press an A, for instance.
But you still don't have to press the number sign in the distances for POI searches or any of that. That's all across the board.
Yep, exactly. Okay, next. Bum, bum, bum. A brand new integrated KeySoft-like help system that's menu-driven and has all the commands arranged in categories that are understandable, easy to get to. There are sub-menus that you can go in, get all the help you need for any command, and then once you find the command you want, it not only tells you the hotkey that you would press from the main program if you want to get it directly, or you can just press enter at that point to execute that command. This is a huge leap forward to our old, basically archaic help system that you had to cursor through all of the different help commands in order to find the one that you want, and sometimes even missed it and got to the end and went, oh my gosh, I don't even remember what I was looking for anymore.
Also, multiple repeats are now a menu, routes are now a menu, and you also get the status of the menu item. So if, for example, you wanted to know what multiple repeats you have active, you would hit M and it would bring you into the menu, and then you would spacebar down and it would say city on, address on, GPS status off. So it gives you the status of the options, and also toggles where you would go into the GPS options menu and you'd select units. It would say press I for imperial or M for metric. It's now a toggle. So when you hit enter on units and it's set to imperial, it sets it to metric.
Yeah, we were beat up big time on our menu system and our help system, and we spent a lot of time. I just bit the bullet and did it. I don't even think I told Mike, actually. I just went ahead and did it. Chris and I pounded through all of the issues together, and when Mike came back from a vacation, we had a new alpha for him that had this new and improved help system, and he was just blown away. So that was pretty exciting. Okay, what's next? Well, one thing now, when you go into the GPS program, you don't have that GPS menu that you had to pass by every time. So that's gone. If you have your receiver set and everything's up and running, boom, you hit N for navigation and you're in the program. No need to then have to hit start GPS and all of that stuff anymore. It's right in the program and starting to take action. So that's a nice little feature. And also, upon entering, if anything went wrong, like you had it set to a Bluetooth receiver and it didn't detect that receiver, well, now you have the ability to reconnect right there. And it'll even tell you what receiver that you're connecting to, like Holix or Garmin or whatever. And tell you the status. It'll tell you that if it's been paired and active or it's not active, and you need to go into the KeySoft connectivity options menu and activate that device before trying to reconnect. So it gives you an idea of what could be wrong with your machine or your device, or if you've just everything seemed right to it but it wasn't able to connect, maybe you have it turned off, maybe you forgot to turn on your receiver, and it'll tell you that and then give you the option if you want to connect. Or, no, I know I don't have it on. I would just want to look up an address or something. You can hit G for GPS at that point, go into the GPS in GPS mode, or hit V for virtual. Go right into virtual mode and skip GPS altogether. So pretty powerful new system there. And also, inside the program, you have the ability to reconnect to your Bluetooth or GPS receiver. There's a hotkey to do that now inside the program that will automatically try to reconnect if it loses connection for whatever reason. So, and then selecting your GPS receiver from the GPS options menu will tell you what devices, if it's Bluetooth you're doing, what Bluetooth devices you have paired and active. And then you pick the one that you want, and it'll try to connect at that point. And so really, really powerful stuff. And even if you forgot to activate it, it'll tell you, oh, I found some Bluetooth devices, but none were active. Please go to your connectivity options menu and activate the device you want to use, you know, and then try again type thing. So we try to give you lots of hand-holding in the whole Bluetooth connectivity since it's such a big issue with under Keysoft 7. And will probably be still an issue with the new version, Keysoft 7.5, that's going into beta pretty soon, since they haven't gone to a new version of Windows CE. So we tried to do as much as we can for you to tell you what the current status of the Bluetooth and the GPS receivers are. So hopefully that will ease our tech support and Bluetooth issues that people have. Any comments on that?
It all sounds much better. You know, it really does, like a complete revamp.
That sounds really great. I don't know if I'm moving ahead here, and if I am, Shaw, I can back off and wait. Since this is a whole brand new map, new engine and everything, on the freeway, when you're on the interstate, does it tell you your ramp, where you're getting off at, and that ramp, what it's connected? On-ramp, off-ramp, that'll give you the name of that off-ramp.
Yep, you're jumping the gun there, Jerry. Just hold your horses back a little bit. I'll be getting to that. No worries there. A lot of improvement there, too. So we'll give you all the scoop on that. And yeah, no, my gosh, this is huge. This I can't tell you guys how much work has gone into this. Well, just to give you guys an idea, on all previous versions of GPS, you know, from version 2 on, when I started, I was also working at Benetech full-time. And all of those other releases I did on, you know, a part-time basis. In October of last year, I resigned at Benetech and became... Oh, sorry. Is this discussion going on? I can't hear anyone. Probably there might be something at your end there. Sorry, Shenandoah. Yeah, the discussion is going on. You should check your speaker settings to make sure it's turned up because people are definitely talking and responding. Sorry about that. It was a question on the chat part of the text part of the chat. Last October, I resigned Benetech and became the Chief Technical Officer of Sendero Group full-time, and at that point started full-time working on this new version. So since then, I've been, you know, working full-time more than 40 hours a week, as Chris can attest to. There was, especially near the end here, quite a number of 12 to 14 hour days that I put in on this release. And, you know, with the new maps, which was a big deal to get done, and the new points of interest, this was just huge. And so then having the new Descartes rich map engine, that was a big leap forward too. So yeah, lots have gone into this, and a lot of rewrite, and it's basically a brand new program. So I guess the person that was having speaker problems has left, so hopefully she'll be able to come back. Let's see what else we got here, or maybe she can listen to it archive later on, so hopefully you'll come back. If not, you'll hear about it after the fact. Oh, yes. Ability to create and follow GPS replays. I didn't realize how big this was until, and I was sort of had to do it for test, for my tests, unit tests, because I needed a way of, recreating what you guys were seeing out in the field. Because you would say, well, I went down this street and it told me about this weird street, but that street doesn't do that. It's on my left, and it said it was on my right. And what's going on? And we would get these constantly. So I created this little device, and actually, it's in 3.5 too. The beginning portions of it, where you can create what used to be called a trace file, and with a space Q, control Q, and that would create this file that would record everything that the GPS receiver was sending our program. Well, I took it one step further, and in my unit tests, I would actually load that file and then execute commands to see, okay, well, where am I? What street's in front of me? How fast am I going? Stuff like that. And then a brainwave just sort of hit me and went, wait a minute. Maybe I can make this a GPS receiver inside your program, inside the BrailleNote GPS. So what you can do is say, okay, I want to use this GPS replay as my GPS input to my program. So what this means is that you can go out and walk around the street just like you would normally and record everything that the GPS is sending to the BrailleNote, and then later, when you're back in the house, replay that as if you're walking outside right now and be able to ask it any question that you could have out there in the street, but now in the safety of your home. And you can, send these files to other friends and colleagues, and actually virtually sort of walk the same place that you went to and have the same points of interest trigger that was triggering around you, and tell you what street you're coming up to, just like you were, maybe half an hour ago that you were just outside recording this thing. So this is going to be a huge, not only for tech support could just say, okay, we'll create a replay of your travel, and then we'll play it back and we'll see what's going on. So that's one use for this. Another is for training, so we can give out specific routes to different areas, and guide the user. Say, okay, we'll load this file and check to see what's going on here now. See your speed. See how you're moving north on this street, and and go as if you're out there with whoever created the trace file to begin, or the GPS replay file to begin with. So this would be great for O&M instructors to get you familiarize yourself with a route. So you do it once, and then you can play it back over and over and over again until you're really comfortable, and then you can do it on your own. So there's a lot of uses for this in trainings and stuff like that. So this is, I think, going to be a huge, and the beauty of it is you just pick it as if you're just another GPS receiver, like a Bluetooth receiver or a serial GPS receiver or whatever, and then it'll ask you what file you want to load. And you just pick the one, any file. So you could have your friends going to Hawaii. Oh, okay. Create a replay of that when you go down there so that I can listen to it later and be as if I was there. So they'll be hearing the exact POIs that you were traveling down on the, along the highway, and hear, where you stayed. Like, it'll stop exactly where you stopped in front of your hotel so that they'll know, okay, this is pretty neat. So a lot of uses we think that this is going to be great, good for, and so we're really excited about that one new feature. I think this is really going to be a really powerful tool in the future.
And it has absolutely nothing to do with routes. If you were following a route and you have a replay recorded and you veer off the route and the route recalculates, the next time you load that same route at the same exact spot, that route will recalculate because, again, it thinks that you are outside being tracked by a live GPS satellite.
What format, file format are those routes recorded in, and where do they go?
The format is actually just a text file, so you could actually look at the file if you really wanted to. It's just raw NMEA data from the GPS receiver. Won't make too much sense to you, but it has certain commands that are XML-based language is the NMEA protocol, and it's stored wherever you want it to be stored. It'll ask you where you want to save the file. So if you want to save it on your flash disk, you can save it there. If you want to save it on your compact flash disk, you can, you know, if you have a, you could create, what we would probably recommend is creating another directory called GPS replay on your compact flash disk and store them there and name them, you know, my travel to Kinko's or whatever, you know, so that when you go to replay them, you know what those files are, replays that are you're going to be loading later on.
I don't know whether to be very impressed or very creeped out that I can be tracked like that.
So my question is, with the replay, as you're replaying a trip, it's you just start the replay and then it just goes automatically the same speed, the same everything that you you were going as you were recording this, and then if so, is there a way you can pause, or something happens, you need to pause it, or, you know, rewind, or something? Is that possible?
You can pause or resume, but you cannot rewind or fast forward. If your trip took a half hour, it's going to take a half hour to play it back.
And when you first come on, it's going to say GPS detected, tracking 3 satellites, just as if, you know, same messages that you got when you first recorded it. You'll hear them again, and when the GPS replay ends, it'll say, you know, GPS replay is finished, or something to that effect. I think we changed it a few times, but it'll tell you that it has ended. And if you want to load it again, you just go back in and select that same GPS replay under the GPS receivers and pick that same file, and it'll start all over again. Or another way is you could exit out of the program and go back in, and it'll automatically load the last replay. If that was the last GPS receiver you chose was a replay, then it'll load the same one again and start playing as soon as you go back into the program.
And also, you don't have to feel creeped out because you as the individual are starting or stopping these replays to be recorded, not the system. So if you never record a replay, you never record a replay.
Well, I'm going to like that because, Charles, I can find out when I left, came from that last pub, and how to get back there.
That's it. You'll be like, where did I go after I left that pub? And you start a replay, and then you'll be able to track your steps after the fact and go, oh, so that's where I got lost down that side alley. I missed my turn, even though it told me to turn now, and I sort of didn't, and I walked another block and then decided to turn. So that's where I went.
You got it.
It'd be really good if you're getting another guide dog and you need to memorize those routes that they make you do for solos.
Yep, or if a taxi cab is deciding to take you on a wild goose chase there, you can start recording them and just tell them, okay, I'm just recording this where the GPS is telling me that I am in case you're taking me, you know, off route here, because I seem to think that we should have turned way back then, and you know, my system keeps telling me that we're going away from my destination, and you know, we'll send this file to your superiors later. No worries.
Just don't let your wife get hold of it.
I met not met, but read one of the, not going to mention the name. I think she's in here now, but. About her taxi cab experience with the driver, about a woman telling him where to go. She writes some nice emails on the for the GPS list.
I have a question, and sort of related to this. Will you be able to print out route directions?
We don't have a direct way of doing that, Carl. What you would do really is the way to do it is to, you know, go through your route waypoint by waypoint or turn by turn using the explore functionality of routes, and then copy each one or append each direction to your clipboard, and then go into keyword and paste the entire clipboard and then print it out that way. We haven't yet integrated directly with the printer functionality of Keysoft, but it is on our wish list for consideration in the future.
If there's one thing that Street Talk does that I wish this one did, that's it. Street Talk right now is nowhere near, even the new one they showed today isn't even a pale twin to this as far as I'm concerned, except in the fact that you can get all your root information in a file and print it out, because a lot of people want to do that, and that's been a request that that I've heard a lot.
Actually, it's one of the BIA features that sort of got asked for at CSUN when we had this BIA feature, the ability to summarize my root, and then the next step to that would be summarize my root and save that to disk so that you could then print it out. So it is on the wish list, and you know, there's just so many things that we could just get in. But yeah, that is definitely one of the things that we want to get in. That one and the other one from Trekker is the one that we really wanted to try to get in, was announce the new street when you go onto a new street to automatically announce that information to you. But unfortunately, that also didn't get it in on time for this release. But it's probably going to be a good bet it'll be in the next version.
Also, you might as well make it possible to emboss it so the blind guy can read the instructions back to his sighted driver, too.
Yep. I totally agree, and once we get into that, you know, we'll have to get some help from HumanWare on how to interact with Keysoft in order to do that type of printing.
Also, the two things that the tracker does that I like about it is it announces the exits. Right when you go underneath it, it announces what exit you're passing, and it also announces when you enter a new city limits. It'll tell you, like, entering Birmingham or entering Atlanta, etc.
Yeah, the entering different streets is definitely something that we wanted to have in it, in our program. That, you know, unfortunately didn't make it in either. The whole entering new street or entering new city, definitely wanted to get that, and probably even states if we wanted to go one step further. But just didn't have time. And the whole business of exit numbers and stuff like that, didn't have enough time to get that in either. That was definitely on our wish list, but if I decided to put everything in that we wanted to put in, there wouldn't be a release this year. It would be next year. So I think you'd rather have all of this functionality now than having to wait another year, half a year, for some of those other things.
I'm not complaining. I was just commenting on what I noticed with working with both devices.
No, cool. No, I'm glad. Actually, this is the type of feedback that we want. And, you know, if things that others are doing that we're not doing, hey, we're supposed to be the Rolls Royce of GPS, right? So how can we be the Rolls Royce when they have functionality that you guys like that we don't have? So, you know, we recognize that there's competition out there, and the competition is good. That what makes, you know, us do better and strive to be better. And, you know, that's how new things happen and new innovations happen. So anyway, that's good. I'm going to cut out for 2 seconds here and go grab myself another drink. Feel free to talk. I'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Chris, can you answer the question on this back to the replay feature? Is there a maximum length that can be enabled?
As much as the disk space that it's recording to.
Since it's a text file, is there any, file size per amount of time that you have noticed? You know, like, for example, 5K per, minute that you're recording or anything like that?
It actually depends on the receiver. Some receivers I've seen with bigger files than other receivers, so there's really no 5K per 5 minutes or whatever. It really depends on the receiver and what data the receiver is sending to the file.
Yeah, and I hope his other answer was it depends on your hard drive space, your flash disk space or compact flash, whatever. And yeah, we really don't have a specific. We could probably get those numbers for some of the common receivers, some of the ones that we support. Just never thought of that one. That's a good question. So maybe Chris can do that when he doesn't have bombarded by a million calls next week. But yeah, no, it really depends because some receivers are sending different data that we're still recording because we're recording everything that the GPS receiver sends us. So in the future, if we want to use some of that other data, well, it's there. It's recorded, and we can start using it in a future version, which is actually pretty funny because that's exactly what Chris did under 3.5 with a different receiver. I think he went out, or just with 3.5, without and made a GPS replay using the space queue that was in there before, and his GPS headings were all over the place. It was saying he was going south when he really was going north, and it said it was just, you know, it was never accurate, not very accurate at slow speeds. He brought it into GPS 4.0, that same replay, and boom, going north, going north, going north, going north. Perfect. Exactly what he went. It was like night and day, eh, Chris?
Yes, that was, yep, and it was the same file that I took, pulled the compact flash card out of the one using 3.5, put it in the one using the 4.0, loaded the replay, and it worked as expected.
Yeah, we did a lot. That was another huge improvement that we did in our software, is at low speeds, you can't really trust the GPS heading information, and it would fluctuate all over the place. And so we did some manipulation to the data, and instead of giving you the raw GPS live heading, we started to do some interpolation and smoothing out of the results and disregarding results that we that wasn't in line with what you were doing. And as a result, the new heading that the GPS receiver, that the system is giving you now, is so much more reliable than ever before. So a lot of work went into getting those numbers smoothed out and more accurate than ever before. So you'll see a huge improvement on accuracy of headings in 4.0.
So in the previous version, if I remember correctly, in documentation recommended to walk at least 2 miles per hour. So are you saying now that one could walk even slower and still get pretty accurate heading information?
Yes, that's exactly right. I was walking around at 0.8 miles per hour and 1.2 miles per hour, which is very, very hard to do to try and go that slow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I was actually testing it outside, walking really slow, painfully slow, and I made a square, and I went, west, and it said I was going west, and then I slowly started to creep north, and then it finally went from west to north eventually, and then started going east when I went east, and then started going south. I was so excited when that finally started working, because prior to that, it would be saying I'm going north, I'm going south, I'm going south, I'm going east, I'm going north, I'm going south, all over the place. So, yeah, this is a huge improvement. And as you probably noticed, we also mentioned like 0.8 miles an hour, 1.2 miles an hour. It gives decimal degree point speeds. Now, under 5 miles an hour, you'll have that extra precision on how fast you're walking.
That's actually very, very cool, because I know some people, their speed of walking is just slow, and then they speak of trying GPS, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's not going to work for this person because they walk at such a slow pace. So that's really an excellent improvement.
Yeah, thanks. We spent a lot of time, testing that one specific area. That went on for a couple weeks, I think. So we really spent a lot of time on that one to really nail it down and get it right. So I'm really happy with the result of that. Okay, let's move on. Task switching, in and out of GPS. This is like one of the best features that Mike loves now, absolutely loves this. We couldn't do this until Keysoft 7.2 because they just finally gave us the hotkey in Keysoft to task switch into our program. And you can always task switch out of GPS, but you can never get back in. So this way, it's true task switching. It keeps your route that you're currently following loaded. It keeps all of your settings. It basically keeps you in pretty much the same spot that you left the program, and it keeps updating the GPS position. So when you come back, it will update you on everything and bring you to the new location that you're now at if you're actually traveling in a car or something like that when you task switched out. You won't get any announcements. It won't say, you know, turn left, turn right. You know, you don't want that, the GPS to be talking when you're in other applications. So it's truly giving back control to Keysoft. You can go in, and some of the things that Mike uses and you guys will probably use a lot is, you know, what's that address? And you want to go to your address book and look up an address so that you can type it in. You no longer have to exit out of GPS and go back in and all that stuff. You can just quickly hot jump out or look up or do set up an appointment or anything like that. You can quickly do now by task switching back out and back into the program. Oh, okay. So that's a big new feature. Right, I already talked about the GPS heading. With the new GPS rich map engine that's underlying, we now have better improved route calculations. Not only we believe that it's faster than ever before, but it also has it's more accurate, especially in pedestrian routes. We definitely noticed a lot improved, better improved routes that are being created now for pedestrians. It really is the shortest distance for pedestrian routes, and so that's a huge improvement. And even vehicle routes have all been improved. So that was a huge, by going to the new Rich Map engine. Which fixed, there was a lot of other issues in the older version that we had, and this new version fixed a lot of these little issues for us, and in that same point was able to create the incredible new routes. And we also improved the ability of saving the routes are like 10 times faster than they were before, so that's a huge improvement as well now, so we're really pretty excited about that one as well.
I have a question concerning routes, especially if you're in a vehicle. In 3.5 anyway, I know that when you recalculate a route, you know, it says, you know, 6 o'clock, go this way or that way. In a vehicle route, will it take you, let's say, around a block instead of just, you know, turn around right here and go the other way?
No, actually in vehicle routes, it won't do go around a block and then come back. It'll actually do a U-turn, although my software isn't really capable of saying U-turn currently. It'll essentially do a U-turn, and it'll come up to the part where you're supposed to turn around, and it'll sort of tell you to turn left and then turn left again onto the same street. So it does something like that. I'm definitely going to be looking at U-turns in the next version and fixing that whole part, but it'll attempt to do a U-turn and not take you around the block for sure.
I know when I was using the I had a tricker for a few months here working with it, so somebody wanted me to learn to use it. On my street, because, you know, the Sendero doesn't have the map, the 3.5 doesn't have my map because it's a new neighborhood. It's a dead end, and I use the tricker, and I'd be going down north, you know, and then I north, 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 you know, and then I follow, and then I walk around, and then, you know, you just have to, you kind of keep checking it, and then you find out you're going south, you know, and then you say, oh, I've turned around, going back, I'm on the other side of the street and going back the way I came from, but I'm across the street, you know, and that's how I follow the U-turn.
Right, yeah, and definitely pleased to report that your street, Jerry, I took a look, and it's in the 4.0 map, so you'll be happy to hear that. actually, one of our beta testers had their street added in 3.5, and he lost it again in 4.0. TelAtlas did make some mistakes when they released this next version, and his street was lost or forgotten. And we found a few of these issues and reported them to TelAtlas, and they're going to be fixing it for their next version of the maps. But unfortunately, one of my good beta testers, his street was gone, so he was kind of disappointed in that. Doesn't happen too often, but I think it was because it was a new subdivision, and it just got recently added, and they made a mistake there. So anyway. And as part of the new points of interest that we have in this version, we added subcategories to the points of interest, which is going to be really nice, so that you'll be able to select restaurant as your category and Italian as your subcategory to look for Italian. You can always pick the subcategory of all, which means all subcategories. Definitely an improvement for the ability to now be able to refine your scope of your search in subcategories for commercial POI categories. Not only that, but when you record your user POIs now, you have the option of giving it a subcategory. And you can keep it as user private, so that's your own private user points. Or you could say, okay, well, actually, this is a restaurant that just got open, so you would select the restaurant category. Now, you wouldn't be able to say restaurant Italian, but at least you're able to say, okay, well, this is a restaurant, or this is a shop, or this is a bus stop, or whatever. So you have basically any of the main categories you can set as a subcategory for your user points of interest, which is great. Two ways. One, when you're searching for hear your user point of interest, let's say you come near it, if you did a detailed description, it'll say the POI name and description, and then tell you the category, like restaurant, that you chose. The other benefit of this is when you send these points of interest to Sendero, well, now we'll be able to include that information as far as, okay, this is a user public point of interest, but append on a restaurant or shop, or so that a user will hear JJ's and they're like, well, what's JJ's? But if you recorded JJ's and said, oh, okay, this is a restaurant, oh, well, that gives a lot more information to a person that's listening to the public user points of interest now. And if you marked a user point of interest as private and you sent your POIs to Sendero, well, we can extract all of the private points of interest and just not include them when we upload them for the public. So we would automatically strip out all of your private user points of interest for you, so you don't have to do it manually when you send us the file. So this is another benefit of being able to mark a point of interest as private versus one of the commercial categories. And if you don't know what category it would be, you can always just hit bonus for the commercial category for your user point of interest. So that's a neat new feature in 4.0.
Is there going to be any problems with importing the old POIs, old personal user POIs from 3.5 into 4.0 is my first question. And my second one is, have y'all done any improvements with the POIs in the vehicle routes? Because I know every time I'd be traveling on a trip and looking for a restaurant, by the time it showed up, you'd be like, oh, that's behind you. That we've already passed that.
Okay. First, on your user points of interest from 3.5, all old versions of user points of interest can be used under 4.0. So not a problem there. Secondly, you can now, for user points of interest, it also gives you now a description field. So before, when you wanted to have a description, you'd type in your POI name, and then you hit comma, and then you would type in the description. Well, now you don't have to do the comma. You'd type in the POI name. You would hit enter, and then it'll ask you what the description is. You can hit enter and leave blank, or you can type in a description there. Then it'll ask you for the category that you want. Well, now, let's say you use your old points of interest that, you know, didn't have categories, obviously, and maybe some of them you didn't put in the comma description. Well, now you can go and edit your old points of interest, And you can add the description and add the different categories now. They default to user private by default, but you can then change them to restaurant or shop or whatever you want. So a great tool moving forward. Your other question on if for searching for points of interest, we really wanted to get in the only search for points of interest ahead of me. Didn't make it in, sorry. Just not enough time to get that feature in. It was one of the buy a feature requests at CSUN. Unfortunately, just didn't have enough time to get that in. It's definitely high on our list for a future upgrade. But yeah, so unfortunately, you'll still get points of interest in all directions around you when searching for points of interest, not just ahead of you. But it's definitely high on our list for future.
Can you go to edit any of your points of interest? I know the one thing I don't like is, let's say you make a spelling mistake or you go home and you find out what the address is. When you go to edit, it erases the whole thing. Is there a way where you can just, you know, move your cursor to a certain section of the POI and edit that little section and then leave the rest alone?
Absolutely. We fixed that too in 4.0. And now tells you that you can press enter to keep the same name, or you can go through letter by letter and fix the spelling of it. So that's not a problem, and does that works on waypoints, POIs, descriptions, all of that. Yeah, it's done. Done deal.
Just a quick question for future, when you begin working on, you know, search for points of interest ahead of me, could you give some thought to expanding that to, say, search for points of interest to the west or to the east or something like that? Sometimes if you know the direction the point of interest is in, I don't know if that would speed up the search. I was thinking it should, but anyway, just a thought.
No, we would actually, well, it wouldn't speed it up right now, but we are planning on revamping the entire point of interest database in the future, but so it wouldn't help right now, but yes, we would have the ability to say on my left or on my right or ahead of me or behind me or whatever you want. So yeah, we've definitely thought about that, and that wouldn't be a problem.
Very cool, Charles. Nice job.
Thank you. Yeah, we're trucking right along here. Well, it's we've been an hour. I noticed a few people did leave, but if you want, we can continue on. I'll be happy to. Those were the main highlights, but I'll be happy to continue on and tell you some more. Or if you want to just ask specific questions, that's fine too.
Oh, I say continue on.
And Jerry's response was go, go, go. And John, how are you doing? You've been pretty quiet, and it's probably pretty late over there for you.
Very interesting. Absolutely fantastic. I shall call it a day now. The last question is, when should the program be out? In the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, that's what we're anticipating. Right now we have an idea of July 16th as our official release date. But who knows, that might... I would think we wouldn't go past that. We might get a week before that, but we'll see. But definitely within the next couple of weeks for sure, and you know, maybe sooner.
How much is the, for the people that do have to pay for the upgrade, how much is the upgrade going to cost?
You know, I don't know that. Sorry, man. I would think we'll probably be in line with what upgrades been in the past, but it's really... You know, so much work has been put into this release that if it's a little bit more expensive than before, I can see why. You know, we're talking probably double, if not triple, the amount of engineering effort that's gone into this release than any other release in the past.
And the map data has been changed significantly, so that there must be a price upgrade for the map data, because that's TeleAtlas will charge more for the better maps.
Yep, and absolutely, and you know, and also, like, for Europe, you guys finally have new points of interest, like real points of interest. I don't know how, you know, important this is. You probably, well, no, I knew, I know how important this is. What I meant to say is, that this, for you guys in the U.S., you've been pretty lucky. Think back to version 1.0 when we had very limited point of interest data under, you know, under a million points of interest for the entire U.S., and then all of a sudden we jumped up to 12 million with restaurants and McDonald's and stuff like that. They've never had that until this release. So this is huge for Europe.
Very much so, because Wayfinder Access has got loads of points of interest over here in Leeds in the UK. It will be fantastic, and I'd just like to thank you and for all the work you've put in. It's certainly changed my life as a piano tuner. Maybe it'll be able to tune pianos in the next release. It'll save me going out in the horrible rain.
Yeah, really, or predict the weather at least, eh?
Goodbye then, and God bless you all from John.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate you coming, all this, you know, especially at your time zone and everything, to be a part of this. Really appreciate it, and I really hope you the best, wish you the best, and have a great time with 4.0 when you get it. I'm sure it'll be exciting, and please post on our users list once you get it to tell us what you think. Really appreciate that.
Bye then.
Okay, moving right along here. Let's see. What did we say here? Let's see. Yeah, mentioned that. Mentioned that. Oh, the well, that's a small point, but QWERTY keyboard users, you'll be happy to know that you no longer have to hit the control key. That read key for most commands is used now, so that'll be a lot easier to issue one-handed and easier on your fingers. So that was a you can thank Chris for that, because he lobbied big time to get that put in. Mike really didn't want to do it because of all the manual changes and audio tutorials that would have to be changed and everything else, but we stuck, we pressured them, and you know, finally got that done. So we're pretty happy about that. The locking of the keyboard has been changed from the equals to enter with L, i.e. lock, or BT is control, or QT is control with L. So those are two small improvements.
Also, he mentioned the audio tutorial. I just wanted to bring that up. The audio tutorial has been totally redone.
Yeah, Chris did an amazing job redoing the entire audio tutorial. And now it tells you step by step how to do a lot of these things. Hopefully we can get that out to people before 4.0 actually gets released, eh, Chris? Hopefully we can post that on our website someplace so that people could really get an idea of what's going on. That would be kind of cool. We'll have to talk to Mike about that.
That enter with L to lock the keyboard, that's not going to affect people who have the language software, because enter with L in Keysoft also changes your language.
That's a good question, Chris.
I believe enter with L will work in the GPS application, because one of the in 3.5 there was a bug that enter with dots 1 and 3 turned the media player volume down, but when you were in GPS it ate it. So I think that enter with L will be fine.
When I get my copy, I'll let y'all know about that.
Yeah, thanks. I really don't know. Yeah, we got beat up on that one a little bit, and if this is the same case, but at least now, yeah, we fixed the media issue, so that if you did task switch to the media player, now at least you could use those keys to lower or raise its volume, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. I think that our program should still work, but please do let us know. You know, and we'll try to fix it for a future release, but I didn't know about that one. You never, you know, you think you figured out everything, and then someone else says, oh, what about this?
Sorry. Would we ever be able to put our GPS, because on to any of the PDAs that are running MSP? Because I know a lot of people have been talking about that Wayfinder, you know, with the cell phones and stuff like that, but would that ever be a possibility?
Chris, you want to take that?
We will be currently working on something dealing with cell phones and possibly other devices as well with the Sendero SDK that we have.
Less thing to have to carry around.
Okay. Another neat little option is the ability to actually select no GPS receiver. So that's kind of cool, because the beauty of that is that it automatically goes right into virtual mode from when pressing N to go into navigation from the main menu. So you don't have to, worry about it saying GPS receiver not detected, blah, 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 reconnect or press V to virtual, all that stuff. It just says, oh, you're in no GPS receiver, go into virtual mode. And so you're back in the program with one keystroke and to get in. And some of the functionality like G and obviously all that stuff will just say, not available with GPS receiver set to none. So it's kind of a cool way if you want a map-only version of the software, or temporarily when you're not planning on going outside, you can switch to that mode to get in and out of the program quicker and go right into virtual mode.
I walk away for a minute a little while ago, and I haven't heard you mention about the being on the highway or the interstate or the freeway or the tollway. How good that going to be there, Charles?
All right, I'll jump down to there right after I talk about the this new little, because I haven't got down to the new root functionality yet. But now you can actually customize your sounds. So the sounds are now removed from the program itself and now accessible to you guys. And it's on your flash disk. There's now a new GPS directory that we store things in, like your settings, and the manuals are there, and also the sounds, each in its own subdirectory. So if you wanted to remove and not have any sound effects, you would just either delete that directory, the sounds directory, rename it to something else, or if you just don't like one of the sound effects, you can just rename or delete that sound effect, or go in and replace it with your own. So it's totally up to you now. If you don't like to hear the bonk bonk to turn, you can, change that sound effect and, record something in any MP3 file, it's a WAV file, any WAV file, and post it there with the same name, and that will get played instead. And you can verify it by going into the sounds menu and play that sound effect. Try to keep those sound effects short, because a lot of them will play out before continuing. The exception to that is the turn. The approach or the turn now. Yeah, the bonk bonk message is the only one that will actually play in the background. So Mike actually has this little tick 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 tick, as if the car signal sound effect. He actually recorded one, and he plays that now. So when it says turn now, he gets this tick 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 tick, tick, thing going on, and things are still talking in the background. But it's sort of an indication that you're supposed to turn now. So that was kind of cute. Then we modified it so that Mike could do that. So anyway, all the sound effects are now accessible to you guys, and you can customize that. And that was one of the BIA features that was at CSUN, so that did get implemented. So it's kind of cool so that you guys can play with those sound effects if you want to change them.
Any of them, anything when you do hard resets or service resets, does any of that stuff get deleted, like manuals or sounds?
No, manuals and sounds, none of that gets deleted. You'll lose some of your settings on a reset, but not a lot of them has now been saved to disk. Your GPS receiver selection has been saved to disk. Your units, your heading mode, stuff like that. Your GPS and virtual positions are now saved to disk. But stuff like your multiple repeat, gets blown away as soon as you exit the program. You would have to turn those back on anyway. Some of your like look around settings, stuff like that, would not after a reset would be blown away. But most of the other settings, the main important settings will be saved after a reset or a service reset. Okay, new root functionality for Jerry. Let's see. As I mentioned, we now have the new map engine from Decarta, and we actually moved up, I think, 5 versions we went, because we were back in the release of 2002, I think, was the last time we upgraded, and then we couldn't because of having to deal with the MIPS processor. We just never upgraded after that, and they went through 5 or 6 revisions past that, and we finally just said, you know what, since you know, Keysoft is, or HumanWare is finally saying that this is the last version of Keysoft for Classic, and we all see that writing on the wall, and people can transplant and all of that, we're like, you know, we really need the new functionality of the rich map engine, you know, and we actually just got a brand new release in April of this year for the new rich map engine, so we just decided to go for it and fixed some of the outstanding issues and got it working with the GPS, with the BrailleNote GPS. So needless to say, it's a long time in coming, and we're really pleased with it, especially on the accuracy now. Let's see, waypoint editing has been improved. To edit a route, you would press E to edit and then R to route, or you'd press E to edit and P for points of interest, your user points of interest. So that's how you would edit user points of interest or route. And if there's no route loaded, it'll ask you to load the route. And you know, you can change the name of these waypoints in the route. Let's see what else here. Okay, vehicle routes you can't reverse anymore. You used to be able to. We took that out because really, you really want to create a new route in the other direction anyway. Because, my gosh, you could be going down one-way streets, and then if you reverse that route, you'd be going down the wrong way of a one-way street or going up the off-ramp of a freeway. You know, so it just didn't make sense to allow you to reverse vehicle routes. Pedestrian routes or manual routes, definitely. We still allow that. You can reverse the route, not a problem. Route turning announcements are more precise. And specifically with the angle that you'll be turning off of, and for highway ramps. The side of the street for destination of a route is a lot more reliable. Oh my gosh, I spent weeks on this point alone to say, when I tell you that the destination's on the left or destination's on the right, by gosh, it is. You know, the only reason why it wouldn't be is a map data error that it says that it's on address 55, and it says that 55 is on the left-hand side of the street, when really 55 should be on the right. That would be the only case that this would screw up. But other than that, we had some issues in the past where, and those issues have been fixed, painstakingly, I might add. Also, if your destination is more than 50 feet from a street, it'll actually, it doesn't matter if there's no street address information anymore, it'll actually figure out that the destination's on the left or the right based on how you have to turn that to make that 50 feet from the street. So now that has been a big improvement. So you no longer have to have just a point of interest or address anymore in order to have the destination on the left or on the right. So that's a big, huge improvement here. Automatic routes create fewer waypoints now on streets that change names. So on a freeway that changes from Highway 1 to Main Street, and then back to Highway 1, and then back to Main Street, those street name transitions are no longer prevalent in the waypoints anymore. So there's a lot more turn ahead, proceed ahead commands when following a route. There might be some, and that's because in that situation that the other name of the street wasn't also included in some of the in some of the extra data that's in the name of the street. So sometimes if you went to long street names, you would hear Highway 1, and then it would say Main Street, Route Number 55. All of these things would really be the same name of the street. And if you turned on the street names long, that you would hear all that information and understand why it all of a sudden Main Street became the first, the common name, and then all of a sudden Highway 1 became the common name and switched around like that, and the software had a lot of problems with that in the past. So that has been cleared up. That reminds me, that's another huge improvement is common street names. And I should have mentioned this to John when he was still here. Hopefully he'll listen to this chat later. Is the street names in Europe, you had to go to long street names to hear everything before, and now you don't have to do that. If you switch to short street names, the common street name is always always first, and then it'll add the other extraneous street names like route numbers or highway numbers to the end of that. So you really hear Gibraltar's Place and Main Street instead of Co Highway 55, Route Number 32, and when they ask for an address. So that's been a huge improvement in this latest version as well. Triggering distances have been tightened up a bit so that you don't. So it tells you the approaching and turn now messages are a lot more accurate as far as when they're announced. And new quick turn announcements. This is pretty huge. This is a big one. If you have two turns in a row that's coming up, so let's say it's going to say, in the past you would hit, okay, you're going to make a left-hand turn on Jones Street. And so you'd make the turn, and by the time you got the continue straight message, you know, and it figured out that you made the turn and all of that, and then it would say, oh, turn right. Oh, you've already missed it. You know, you had no idea that there was another turn within a few hundred feet of the turn that you just made, and you'd miss it, and then it would say off route and all of that. Well, now it actually tells you, it'll say, I can't remember the exact terminology that we picked, but it would be like something like turn left onto Main Street, then turn right, or something to that effect. So it tells you that there's another turn pretty quick after that. And for off-ramps of freeways, not only do we tell you if it's an on-ramp connecting to such and such a freeway or if it's an off-ramp, we actually say off-ramp or on-ramp to such and such. So that was your main question, Jerry. We do tell you that now. And we also tell you, off-ramp connecting to to Almaden Expressway, for example. But if you turn in a route situation, it'll tell you you're going to be turning left at ramp connecting to Jones, and then it'll say, and then turn right on Jones Street. You know, so you get that extra information as well when you're coming off of off-ramp, so that you know that you're going to make another right at the bottom of the off-ramp. So that is a big, huge improvement there as well.
What about pedestrian-wise, or I guess vehicle too, if you're going on intersections, will it tell you if it's two-way, four-way, etc.?
Yep. The SpaceX detailed intersections now has how many, if it's three-way, four-way, all of that, just in the old, like the old Atlas Speaks days, that has been added now to the intersection, detailed intersection command.
You know, the pedestrian is just, and the vehicle is both equally important for me because, bless my wife, but, you know, she's learned to drive in the last few years, you know, and learning a new language from being from Europe and never been behind a wheel was pretty difficult. And so, you know, I need that GPS, the ramp information and stuff, you know, like, you know, in California, I know every square inch of Los Angeles, living there so many years, So, you know, when you get off the ramp, let's say Brand Boulevard, say ramp, then the brand, because that you're approaching Brand Boulevard off the ramp. And so that, those type of information I need, because these things I can share with her while she's driving me, because when she's in an unfamiliarized area, she can be very nervous, and I need to have her be confident in the map, so she trusts me, you know. So that's why it's important for me to have correct information. And that's 3.5 with us, pretty big issue, you know, even on the street, you know. I sure hope it's much more stable and reliable, because for me, that's really important.
Now, we spent months on the accuracy of 4.0. We went through and created GPS replays of weird situations, and basically put those into the unit tests. And then I would see that the unit test would fail because it was saying the wrong information, and would correct the situation in the code, and then the unit test would pass. But the best part is that unit test stayed there. So as I'm developing new features, new functionality, adding more and more code, that unit test was always getting executed, making sure that I never broke it again. And there was quite a few times where I would make a change, not thinking it had anything to do with this little fix that I made for Jerry, to make sure that his heading or whatever was accurate, and then all of a sudden that would break, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, what happened there? And I would go ahead and fix it to make sure that unit test started passing again. So, you know, every time I add a new test, it's in there, and you know, anything I add from then on is not going to break it.
Quick question. In regards to hearing that an on-ramp or off-ramp connects to the street name, will that also work with the X command to find out your next intersection, or will that only work in a route?
I just wanted to comment on the accuracy first before I forget. One of the tests that I had done, I was walking down the street and I stopped at a corner, and I did a replay of this, and I stopped at the corner and I got my nearest intersection. Well, it was telling me that I was on the street that I wasn't on. It said I was on Parkwood, which I wasn't. I was going north on Hyler, and Parkwood was the east-west street. So I came home and I told Charles this, and he fixed it in the next alpha. And I played that replay, the same replay that I recorded when I saw the issue, played it back, and sure enough, it told me where I was, what direction I was supposed to be facing, that Parkwood was an east-west street, and I was, in fact, going north.
Yeah, so definitely, Jerry, anyway, we spent a lot of time on accuracy for not only your heading. We spent a lot of time in, and I'll get back to you, Carlos, in a second. We also spent a lot of time in virtual mode, following routes in virtual mode, and making sure that all of the headings that it's giving you, what heading that your virtual position is when you get to each waypoint, and then when you ask for the next turn, or all of that is accurate and precise. We've done, you know, and we have unit tests for all of those things as well. So this was, you know, that one section alone, we spent a week or two on to make sure that everything is exactly correct. And this was brought up from one of your friends, and we made sure that we addressed every one of his issues. So anyway, just thought I'd pass that along to you. Carlos. The X intersection with turn, route, ramp connecting to, I don't know off the top of my head if you pressed X, if it would say on ramp connecting to, Highway 101 or not. Chris, do you know that?
I think it does, but I don't want to put money on it. I'm almost certain that it does, but I don't remember, to be honest.
I would assume it would. If you move it up and then focus it here and then ask it to do it, I would think it would.
Well, it would if you're following a root, but the root functionality and what things connect to runs a different path in the code than intersection command. They have some overlap, but not entirely. But yeah, definitely a lot of improvement in that whole area. Any more questions on roots?
I wanted to bring up another point. Root following has changed. The root explorer commands have changed. On the BT, it's space, or it's 2356 to go forward a waypoint, space 2356 to go back, and then it's 36 to go forward turn by turn, and then space with 36 to go back turn by turn. On the QT, it's read up arrow and read down arrow to go forward and back waypoints. Read right arrow moves forward a turn, and read left arrow moves back a turn. The beauty of this is not only do these commands work in virtual mode, but they work in GPS mode. So you can explore a route as you're driving down the street or walking down the street. You can basically flip ahead a couple turns or a couple waypoints, and it's basically like moving your cursor along this route. So it works in GPS or virtual mode, which is really cool.
And when you put yourself in a virtual mode on a GPS mode, when you're using GPS and you put yourself in a virtual, exploring your route as you're going using GPS, how do you refocus and put yourself immediately back on track and on your route? What keystroke do you use for that?
There isn't one. You automatically are. So if you're going down the street and you're three turns ahead of yourself, you hit T, you're going to get the next turn that you're trying to get to. You hit N, you're getting your nearest waypoint. So there is no keystroke to move yourself back. You can if you want to with the space on, but you don't have to.
Is that the same thing in pedestrian mode? If you decide to flip yourself ahead a couple of points, you don't have to do a keystroke to get yourself back where you're at?
Route's a route, whether you're walking or driving.
Yeah, the beauty of this is, one, we've tied all of the keystrokes to the same commands in virtual and in GPS. So all the commands that work in virtual, the same ones work in GPS, so you don't have to figure out, oh, am I in GPS or in virtual? It's all the same commands. So that's one beauty. Second beauty is when you're moving, exploring ahead when you're live in GPS, you're not really affecting the system. You're just exploring. So, you know, it'll still keep saying that your next waypoint is, you know, a mile or two ahead, but you could be exploring down near the end of your route or near the beginning of the route. And, you know, once you arrive at your next turning waypoint, the system will automatically tell you, okay, turn left, you know, you're about or approaching your turn left, but you could be exploring anywhere. You hit the space N or control read N, and it will reset your, quote, exploring waypoint to the same waypoint in front of you as the GPS is trying to get. So it syncs everything back up if you really want that, but you don't have to do that anymore like you had to do in the past.
So again, this is only for routes. You can't do that. That's only for routes, right?
Yeah, this is only in regards to routes. You know, if you switch to virtual mode, you can explore the map virtually just like you could before. But to explore the route, you would hit this key combination to move you forward either waypoint by waypoint or turn by turn. And that's another beauty of this, that, you know, in the past, you had to be in either turns only or detailed to go waypoint by waypoint or turn by turn. You don't have to do that anymore. You know, it's just, you press the key combination, and it'll go turn by turn or waypoint by waypoint or back and forward. And so it's really simple now. It's just forward and back along your route, and you can really get a sense quickly of where you are. And if you get lost, like, where the heck am I? You can just hit the space N and bring you right back to where you are live in GPS and trying to get to the next waypoint. That's a really big benefit there. And there was a related point. I was trying to remember what that was. But Oh, there's also a new function that you could find out the distance and bearing to your quote explore waypoint. There's a route function to do that. So if you're right down near the end of your route, you can press a certain key route function that will tell you your distance and bearing from your current GPS position to that exploring waypoint. So we added that functionality as well. Another feature that was added was if you press the A key and you are more than 50 feet from your from the street, it'll actually tell you the distance and bearing to the nearest address on the street perpendicular to yourself. So let's say if you're in a parking lot or something and you press A, it'll say like 150 feet northeast to Jones Street. So then you know, oh, okay, that's where Jones Street is. Whereas before we used to just say, near Jones Street or something like that. But this way it actually gives you a direction and bearing so that you can get to that if you lost track of where that street is. So that's a nice new feature too.
I'm trying to find. I've got a BlueLogger receiver, but I want another one because I'm not too fond of it. I know y'all have the Holix and the one that the new Royal Tech that has Oswaz is what Trekker's got. Is there anything that y'all recommend? Is there any way? Is there any research I can do? Anything to look up on Google that I'm looking for in terms for a receiver?
We've done major work here on testing receivers, so please talk to us before going and buying a receiver. Chris has been doing amazing testing on the brand new receivers out there, and we are currently testing all of the latest stuff that's out, and some of which we're experiencing some weird fluctuations. And drift at slow speeds on some of these new chips that are coming, GPS receivers that are coming out. These are highly sensitive chips, like GPS receivers. They're like, they'll actually track indoors and inside, like trains where you used to not be able to, and very sensitive. A lot better was. Sensitivity, and once you get it, you usually keep it with WAS now on some of these new receivers. But some of these new receivers have the tendency of slow speeds to drift. And so, if you just went and got one of these receivers, then you might experience great accuracy when in a vehicle, but real sucky accuracy when you're traveling in pedestrian mode. So, we're doing all of this research for you, and we're still testing. But we still recommend the Holix right now, the one we sell. The Royal Tech is good as well. I don't see an issue with that. But we actually have some stuff put into ours that help on slow speed pedestrian walkings from Holix. So definitely talk to Sendero before purchasing a GPS receiver.
Charles, how long do you think there'll be before we start seeing those new receiver on the shelf, and how big are they or small, and how much they might go for?
Let me answer this. Currently, we don't know. The receivers are pretty much the same size. Actually, they fit in the same case. So, but we don't want to put something out where you're going to be walking down the street and then you're going to get disorientated, and then the receiver decides to flake out and tell you you're 2 blocks away from where you are, which doesn't help the situation. So again, we don't want to put a time frame on any of these new receivers because we just the results that we're seeing are, it's just not a good situation.
If I buy a Holux right now, I'm not gonna, y'all aren't gonna be turning around and ship and saying, okay, we're recommending these like within the next month or two, you know.
Well, the thing is, the Holix right now is an amazing GPS receiver. It is so much better than the BlueLogger. It's like night and day to what you currently have. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Even if we did, like within a month or two, say we're now recommending this new receiver, we still stand behind the Holix that we're currently selling, and we would recommend that to anyone, even if we weren't selling a new receiver right now. So you know, at this point, you could wait, but we don't know yet what the results are going to be and when we're going to have that either. So, you know, if I were you, I would still go with the Hollux or even the Royal Trek, and still, the both are very good receivers and very highly accurate at pedestrian speeds, very fast acquisition to get your GPS signal. And they both have WAS, and they both have a slider switch for easy access to turn on and off. So all in all, a great receiver.
I use the Hollux receiver, the 236 Slim, on the Tricker too, and I paired it. It worked better than I had the Royal Tech 1000, Mini 1000 or something like that, and that took a while. It wasn't that. Didn't read it mini satellite and stuff like this, and with Hollux, I double everything and speed, accuracy, everything was night and day, you know, and then just so much better. I'm not trying to tell you to go ahead and buy some Sendero because you know for the price or anything, but I speak at a consumer part. Consumer, so they got the WAS, and so you know, I have had like I don't know 10, 11 satellite with WAS and everything else, and it was just like signal was like really good and all that, you know. And then the only issue I had was the map, you know, the map was gooey, but now I'm very confident with this new 4.0, it's all that going to change, and so. Stability is what's really important for all of us. So, in accuracy, and you're gonna pay a little more for the Hollux instead of, you know, if you go online and buy it, you know, you can get it cheaper, but you're not gonna get the WAS and Sendero got it tuned up for their Hollux tuned up for them, and I think you'll be happy with it if you get that or the Royal Tech.
And you also get the case through us as well, so the leather case, which is a nice to protect your unit as well. So, and that's why Sendero does all this testing for you guys, so you don't have to go out and try to do all this research on your own because it is overwhelming. And we rigorously test it on multiple machines with people, and we make sure that it's working in all situations. And then Mike tested in other countries and you know, on different situations with tinted windows and trains and buses and all this stuff. So that is why you know we're doing the research for you. You don't need to, and that's why we recommend and stand behind the Hollux, because it just outperformed everything that we had to that date, and we're very happy with it. And even got them to make some modifications for us for our specific users for pedestrians. So anyway, I think we definitely belabored that point long enough. And I hope that answers your question.
It does. The ones y'all ship to Humanware for them to sell, since they sell your stuff as well, that's the same receiver, the same WAS enabled and all of that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, I'm pretty much done my list here. I'm looking at the last few points, and they're all pretty minor and stuff. Probably want to try to wrap up. We're getting close to 2 hours here. It's been a great session, everyone. Wanted final thoughts, comments, questions before we wrap this up?
I'm so sorry that I'm just absolutely late. I've been having issues with my computer. But how much is this update going to cost?
We currently don't have those pricing yet. Sorry about that. Yeah, we did discuss this at the beginning. This chat, by the way, will be archived, and you'll be able to download it and check it out. Mike and the marketing team will be figuring out what the pricing structure will be. It's probably going to be very similar to what we've done in the past. So I don't think there'll be any huge surprises. It's definitely a paid upgrade, but we probably put in two or three times the development costs in this release than any other, and we do have new maps and points of interest in this release, as well as a new software fundamental base. So a lot has changed, a lot has gone into this release, and this is huge.
Charles, could you talk about the points of interest? Am I correct in thinking that it's not only going by street address anymore, you're trying to give the actual location? Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. In the past, our commercial points of interest had a couple different latitude and longitudes in the database, and we were always extracting or using the main entranceway point of interest lat long, and now we're actually using the offset from the street to where the business should actually be located. Now, if that distance is, I forget how we did that. If it's within a certain distance, we just use that offset distance. But if it's greater than, 50 feet or 100 feet, then we actually put in both positions. And one will be labeled, I forget, Chris, if you know, one is labeled offset or one is street. I forget how we did that, but we have both points of interest in the database. But yeah, it should be a lot more accurate as far as the points of interest being where they really should be instead of just at the entranceway or where the street address should be on the street itself.
I've done some tests between 3.5 and 4.0 and user points of interest that I recorded at certain places, and there was one that I saw that was 32 feet away from the user point that I put in, and I always saw 100 feet accuracy, or it was definitely a better accuracy or closer to the user point that I had put in.
So, for example, if there's an establishment you're trying to go to, and maybe there's a, it's not right at the street, there might be a little parking lot or something, and the actual building, is probably, maybe 150 feet away from the street. So in that case, you would get the actual location of the building and not just not only the street address, but also the actual location of the building, correct?
Yeah, if it's in the database, that is correct. And in some cases, we'll actually put both of them in if they're a certain distance apart, so that you'll know where the main the street point of interest is, and then there'll be one offset from the street that will be more where the building should be. But it's all based on the data given to us from TelAtlas, so we have no idea how accurate that is.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything? Any other questions or comments? What do you guys think about 4.0?
Sounds great. I cannot wait to get my copy. Thank you for doing this chat. I appreciate it.
I am very excited about it. I'm looking forward to this. Wish we could have it to play with tomorrow, but I'll try to be patient and wait.
Very impressive, Charles. Sendero done a good job this time. Sound like it's really going to make a big impact, and it's going to be really good.
Charles and I have been going back and forth for months and months and months. Early in the morning, late at night, I find this. I tell him. He tells me. It's been a team effort, all around.
And thank you too, Chris.
Yeah, Chris has been amazing. He's been my right-hand man all along this whole process. And he's done anything I shot at him for testing-wise or bouncing ideas off or, I'd be like, and he works great because I usually get up at like 4 in the morning here in the West Coast, and he's out in New York, so 3 hours ahead, so his day is sort of coinciding with my day. So I get up, start bright and early, and he's up there, 3 hours later, and we're able to work really well together. And he's definitely helped me and massaged the software and told me when things weren't behaving correctly, and either stuff wasn't being displayed on the Braille display correctly, or was missed, or you know what the users would want in certain situations, and trying to make things more standard and consistent throughout the program. And oh boy, we definitely done a lot of chat sessions throughout this whole development cycle, and has been a great resource for me and has done a great job. So I think you guys are really going to get an amazing product in 4.0 than ever before. It's just, this is completely, you know, without sounding cliche, night and day above and beyond anything as you've ever had in the past. I just can't say enough about this version. It's so exciting.
Just looking at the menu system, you won't recognize it.
Yeah, right from the beginning, from the first time I started using GPS, I found the help system, for example, totally frustrating, and some of the other things that you've mentioned through my, you really have pinpointed issues and improved features that. I mean, this is really exciting. And since Charles has been drinking his beer, I'm going to go celebrate with a glass of wine because I think this is fantastic. And you two as a team complement each other so beautifully. It's terrific. And thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're the WWF of GPS, man. Chris and Charles coming at you live.
Well, thank you so, so much for taking your time to come and explain all the new features. I'm looking forward to it. Very excited about this upcoming release, and so thank you, and I'm going to say good night.
Joe, don't make me laugh. Joe, don't make me laugh. I'll get some wrinkle on my skin.
That was very kind of you guys to say, everyone. Thanks, Elaine. That was very nice of you. So anyway, as we said, this will be posted on our website so that you guys can download it and others can download it later. Thanks again for everyone for participating. It was a lot of fun for us. I hope it was for you. And, you know, get your orders into Sendero because it'll be released, you know, shortly. So happy travels, and we'll see you in future shows and wayfinding events and wayfun events. In the future. Take care. God bless.